Hello and welcome back to the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, but you may know me better as LDG. We are now 12 games into the National Women's Soccer League season, so there's a big sample size to judge these teams on, which is why I wanted to focus on the worst teams in the league, or at least the lowest ranked side so far. Obviously, and rightfully so, the attention is driven on the teams that are succeeding the most on the pitch, but often it's more interesting to look at the sides that are not succeeding and seeing why, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. So, without further ado, let's get right into it. So, I want to start with the worst, or the rather the lowest-ranked team. We're going to try and use optimistic language today, considering that we're trying to find the bright spots in these teams while also acknowledging what's not working, clearly. So, the Utah Royals are obviously in last place by a landslide, with only a few points in their season, only two matches where they got any points. They have 4 points on the season so far, with one victory coming against the Courage. Then again, in that match, they only had two shots, which were the two that they actually got in the back of the net. So obviously this team is not working, but this is a team, I would say, with all due respect, it's not a very big surprise that they're underperforming. They have one of the weakest rosters in the league by a mile. They don't have a lot of established talent. Their starting lineup has been consistently changing. They have a first-time head coach who has not been up to the task. And in their last match, they had four rookies in the starting lineup with other players with very minimal NWSL experience. Let's take a look at this team and see why are they not doing so well. Mandy Haught in the back is definitely one of the better players in this team, even though she is, according to FootMob, the 10th best statistical player on this team. In my opinion, she's the best because she has carried this team's defense when it's been a disaster. I'm going to be honest, the defense has been the worst part of the Royals by a mile, but everything's honestly been bad. They've only scored 5 goals, and so there's not really one pinpointed area, if I have to be honest, that has struggled. It's been a lot of different places. And to be fair, they have made adjustments to the side, bringing in players like Anna Tejada, Macy Frazier, and Amandine Henry, which have made a great impact on the side already. But if you look at this team, it's just a little weaker. I think Amani Dorsey's injury definitely was a big issue at the back of the pitch. Obviously, that back line that they originally had to start the season with, Dorsey, Pogarsh, Real, and Kate Delfava, was amazing. It was full of experience. Dorsey and Pogarsh both have a lot of it. But with Dorsey going out, and she was, in my opinion, the best player on the team for the first two games of the season, even though she obviously won't get the credit she deserves because fullbacks don't get that credit usually, which is disappointing. But I'd love to see players like Addison Merrick get more of a chance. She's only played 90 minutes. She's really not gotten any chance on the pitch at all yet, which I think is disappointing considering when it's not working like it is for the Royals, and considering we know the Royals are not going to be very good this year, right? This is one year in their project. Kelly Cousins, their sporting director, has specifically talked about how it's not a one-year thing for them. They are merely going for a building block. This is just the blueprint, honestly. They're not really building anything yet in regards to winning matches. But overall, this team does have some talent, and I've looked at their midfield, which I think is one of my favorite parts of the side. But I'd just like to see a little bit more. Tejada coming into the team is a good sign, considering that she was a highly coveted player, with someone with a lot of different suitors interested in her performances. I thought that she has played quite decently with the Royals so far. In the first two matches that she's played in, and along with Macy Frazier, they've only given up 1 goal in each of the performances against two of the best teams, which I think is showing there is some improvement, at least defensively, which is nice to see, especially considering that Dorsey isn't playing. Even though she's 28 years old, you hope to see the fact that she will be part of the future, at least I'd hope, considering she's one of my favorite players. And she's also been such a big piece of the Royals when she was able to play. Moving on to the midfield, I talked about this earlier. I think that the fact that they have so much international talent, only two of the midfielders on their roster are domestically born players. They all play in the U.S., whereas all but one of the forwards are American-born players, which I think we'll talk about a little bit later when we get to the forward line. But if you look at the midfield, Amandine Henry, obviously a world-class player. She is 34 years old now, but the amount of Champions Leagues that she's won is so impressive. It really, her quality and her ability on the ball is really just one of the best parts of her game. She's controlled the tempo of this team. She's played as a 10. She got the number 10 of the team, which I think, the jersey number, rather, which I think was quite surprising considering we've known to see her as a 6, a defense midfielder. But with Agnes Nyberg only being 24 years old and not having a lot of experience at the top level, Fodier being even younger at 21 years old, those other two midfielders from Sweden and Netherlands, respectively, have quite high potentials and ceilings, and I think Kelly Cousins definitely saw that in them, but they're not ready for the competition that the NWSL provides yet, and I think that's going to be a big word to use for the Royals. This is a very young, talented side. We have to be quite fragile in the words that we like use when describing this team, because yeah, they aren't a top-quality team now. It's kind of clear. We've seen them get defeated a lot of times. But the pieces are there. They're building something, which I think is the biggest aspect. Zoe Burns is a good top draft pick, along with Macy Frazier, who's one of their new signings, a coveted player at just 21 years old. She's already putting in some good shifts in the NWSL so far, only gone off the bench, but still more to come. The front line, however, was where the biggest problems have happened. Only 5 goals. Ali Sentner has been the obviously key bright spot with 2 goals and 2 assists. The best player on the team, that's the field player. She's had some weaker performances lately. She hasn't gotten in the score sheet in her last 5 matches for assists or goals, which I think has been a big problem. She's kind of died down a little bit since her amazing start to the season, and that's been disappointing. This Royals offense has just been stagnant. Hannah Bedford has not found herself on the goal sheet, which I think is something she'll be disappointed in. And I think this team, it's really about leaning into the youth at this point. I think Cameron Tucker is someone who I wish they'd continue giving more of a chance, because she scored a goal and she kind of just got like dumped after that. She played that match against the Courage, didn't have the best performance, but I still think that you have to give chances to the people who are scoring goals, and if Bedford isn't doing that, then I think a front line of Tucker, Mazingo, and Sentner would really work, because Mazingo is in such good player at creating goal scoring opportunities. Obviously, you have to mention Paige Monahan, who I'd probably put in for Mazingo, considering that she is obviously the captain. She's been a player who hasn't really had the contributions that this side would have wanted from her, but she is still a top quality player, and we know that. So from Royals' perspective, there's a lot more for them to grow. There's a lot of pieces that we talked about here, but overall, it's been quite stagnant. It's not really very complicated to describe, honestly. They're just not very good on the pitch right now. But this is a young group, and I think the biggest task for Amy Rodriguez is, considering this is her first ever professional head coaching job, she's going to have a lot in her hands in developing these young talents and making a side that will be contributors, not in the next few years, but down the line, which is the Royals' main goal. The season, the Seattle Reign was always going to have a lot of challenges on their hand. Rapinoe retiring was a sign that was kind of clear in the future. There was a lot of expectations there. Obviously, it was deservingly so a very amped up occasion. But the unexpected departures of many other key players may have put a wrench in the plans that Laura Harvey originally had. Rose Lavelle and Emily Sonnet both left in the free agency process, along with Angelina, a top young talent, and many more players. We won't name all of them. You can find that online, obviously. And they haven't really done enough to really replace those players. Obviously, they've brought in Ji So-hyun, who's an amazing quality player who's done some good work for this team so far. But it hasn't really worked for them. I think this season is really been an up and down cycle for the Seattle Reign side. When you look at the team, Ji So-hyun, obviously, with 3 assists, along with Fishlock, also 3 assists. Those two playmakers in the midfield should be doing a lot more, especially considering that they have a midfield of Fishlock, James, Turner, and Ji So-hyun. It should be a lot better. We know how much of a quality player that Angharad James has in her, and same thing with Ji So-hyun and Jess Fishlock. But I think the biggest problem for me has really been the lack of just defensive cohesiveness, which is surprising considering that this team has a lot of quality defenders in Sofia Huerta, Alana Cook, and Lauren Barnes. But they've been a leaky team at the back. They keep on giving up goals in situations where they can't close out games. And I'll go back to the last match we talked about. They gave up 5 goals in that game. They've given up 25 goals in 12 games, which is not acceptable. That's more than 2 goals a game. And you can't expect your attackers to beat that. They have a negative 12 goal differential. So that means they've also only scored 13 goals, 2 of them coming in that match yesterday. So they've had a really hard time getting on the score sheet, which is obviously never a good thing to see. But at the end of the day, this side does have a lot of talented players. It's just going to be about putting them together. They do have presumably a lot of money to spend on some players, hopefully in the summer window, due to the fact that they have lost a lot of people who are obviously high earners. I'd love to see them put in a bid for Julia Grosso, who is obviously a player who's very heavily linked with the NWSL. No specific team, unfortunately, which is very frustrating. But there is still chances for this Reign team to develop and grow. And they're not out of the playoffs yet, even though that sounds crazy. They're still only 8 points out, which means they could still, if they turn the season around, get back at least in contention and show a little bit more progress. And we can see what the Seattle Reign team is building because, to be quite frank, they haven't really had a team. It hasn't looked consistent, cohesive. There's a lot of talented players. Shea Holmes is one player who's at such a young age. She obviously filled in last year when Lou Barnes went down, and obviously in Challenge Cup matches where there was rotation was a necessity. But there hasn't been a lot of bright spots for this team. It's just everything has not been going well, and it's very hard to put your finger on it. I think it goes down to a lot of things, as we've talked about, the lack of leadership perhaps in the locker room, even though there are still leaders on this team. Losing the presence of Rapinoe was always going to be felt, but then also losing players like Emily Sonnet, Rose Lavelle, who we talked about earlier, that is going to take a heavy toll on your team no matter what. And I think they're really feeling that now in an quite unfortunate manner, because we do know this team has the quality to do well. They have shown it before. They have the ability on the pitch, yes, but also the ability off of it. They have these young, talented players who have really showed up in the past, and they showed up under the leadership of Pino and Lavelle, and now it's time for them to grasp it and take it into their own hands almost. I'd love to see someone like Bethany Balser continue scoring. She's gotten 4 goals at the beginning of the campaign, but she's struggled, quite frankly, since that. She got one against the Orlando Pride recently, but she's been a very on and off goal scorer. And for a striker, obviously, to only score 4 goals in 12 matches, it's not horrendous by any level. But especially for someone like Balser, who has such high standards and who would love to make the national team, I would presume, 4 goals is not going to get you there, unfortunately. So I'd really just like to see a little bit more of a push offensively, but also stability defensively. I think we're going to need to see some more growth from this inside before we can really compare them to more teams. I think one player who's been, yes, a very young talent, but in my opinion has been a very fun bright spot to watch, is Emery Adames, the U18 signing. Now she's 18 years old after they signed her, but even though she only played 3 matches, I think it's great to see how they have someone in the pipeline. Obviously, this is the first U18 player that the Reign has ever invested time in, and I guess speaks magnitudes to the player that Adames is. Her goal against the Spirit will obviously highlight the year that she's had, but at the same time, she has also done so much more for this team than just that one goal. Her youth has been something that I think the Reign needs to embrace a little bit more, honestly. I think I'd love to see her get more than just 3 starts. Same with players like Sam Meza, who they trade up for. She hasn't really played at all. I don't think she's played at all yet. So it's disappointing, to say the least, the fact that the Reign is finally showing an investment in young talent. They have players like Heitema and King, who I know they've been here for so long, but they're still such young talents. Heitema just 23 years old. So they have such a youthful energy on the roster, and I'd love to see them embrace that and then have those leaders in the midfield. I hope Quinn, they can get back to their form and getting back on the pitch, because they are such a fun player to watch on the field. They haven't played since latter stages of April for club or country, and considering that they're always a big presence for the Canadian women's national team and also at the Seattle Reign, where they've played the majority of their career, it's sad to see that from the Reign's perspective, knowing that they are always such a bright spot in the midfield on that side. And I can't wait to see them hopefully rejoin this side soon, because they are in desperate need of Quinn's help. Obviously, all these factors that we've talked about, the turnover and leadership, the injuries that have occurred to some of their best players, it was going to be a rocky season at the Seattle Reign. They have had Pino as their leader, as their figure, as the player who really controlled the essence of this team in the best way possible. She's the one who really led this side forward, and this is their new era. This is their chance to rediscover themselves without the leadership that Megan Rapinoe has. And I think that should be something exciting and a new challenge that they should be grasping rather than something scary, which is obviously, it is scary for the Reign side because they aren't just losing a leader, they're losing one of the best players of all time for the U.S. Women's National Team. So it's always going to be an adjustment. They lost one of the most creative players in Rose LaFell, so there's so much talent that obviously departed that Reign side. But at the end of the day, they will have to just find themselves and rediscover the identity of who the Seattle Reign are. I think the style of play that they've played has been messy. It's been hard to watch. They've been playing this long ball form, which has really worked, but I really wish that they had gotten a player like Maria Sanchez because it would have added a spark of creativity to their team, and also they really need someone on the wings who can play those balls into the box that will be perfect for their target forwards that they have with Bethany Balser, Jordan Huitema, and Tazara King, and Julia Grosso could be that player. So hopefully for the Reign side, they can bring in someone, if not Grosso, like her. And hopefully they can also bring back players like Jimena Lopez and Luani, who has been linked to other Spanish sides like Atletico Madrid. So obviously there's also competition for their young talent, but I hope that the Reign brings those two players back because they have shown really immense talent on their loan spells. And then those players returning, plus hopefully a new signing in the summer, would be really beneficial for the side as they continue this rebuild of not just talent, but of identity. So that's going to be really fun to watch. 12th place, we have Angel City, which is one of the most interesting sides to evaluate in this bottom five area, because I don't think they're a bad team. Out of the bottom five, this is the only side, to preface, that I've actually witnessed in person. So maybe I'm giving them a little bit of an unfair edge. I don't know. I don't think that they're playing horribly. I don't think that they are giving up too many goals to the back. I don't think that they're have a bad offense either. I just don't think they score enough as much as they need to. I think that this roster is very, very talented. In my preseason rankings, I had them in the playoffs. So it's been very weird to see them really struggle. Their defense has been fine. I don't think that there's many problems there, even though I did look at the side this weekend and wonder about the talent on this black line if there isn't a Sarah Gordon, because Sarah Gordon isn't just a defender for this team. She isn't just a center back. She is the defense. And I mean that with the most respect for the other players, because there's a lot of other talented defenders in this team. But the fact that they had to play Madison Curry this weekend at center back, and when she's a clear fullback, was really not a great look for the team. I haven't been very impressed with the squad decisions that Becky Tweed has been making, even though she obviously deserved this job. She played an immense role in the turnaround that Angel City experienced at the latter part of the season. I just would like to see a little bit of something different. I think Sydney LaRue has been good up top. Alyssa Thompson, to be her credit, I was very judgmental of her last season, which I quite honestly feel bad for now, considering that she has really shown her talent this year with 4 assists. I was critical due to the fact that I never thought that she was playing to the level that merited her making that roster, which I still will stand by. But I do think that U.S. soccer clearly saw something in her that I missed and was oblivious to, because her talent on the pitch is admirable, and her ability to not just like run by defenders but play that perfect pass has been very fun to watch this season. I think her creativity and her freedom on the ball and her willingness to flow in and out has been very fun to watch, just from a fan perspective. And her final pass has been excellent. I look at the goal that Claire Emsley scored, who's also been the star of this team, in my opinion, of the attack at least. But the pass that Thompson made was beautiful. She slides it through with her left foot right through the defensive hole on the North Carolina Courage, and Emsley's able to finish it. And I think that creativity, I'd love to see Thompson get into those more central areas more often, because when she gets there, the better things happen for the side offensively. If you look at the matches where she and her teammates struggled, there's a parallel there. Her team does better when she does better. And I think that speaks magnitudes to the person that she is on the off the pitch. Obviously, I don't know hers personally, but you can see how this team is relying on her. They're giving her lots of minutes in a good way. And I think she's proven, to her credit, which I was a little bit, I guess, mean about it. I will admit that I didn't think that she had merited getting all those minutes last season with the talented front line that they had, with players like, with talents on the squad like June Endo. But at the end of the day, she has been proving herself offensively and creatively. So credit to her, and I hope to see her continue to build partnerships with other frontline players. I do think Claire Emsley has been great this season. Obviously, putting the ball in the back of the net 5 times is no hard, is no easy task. Also contributing to 2 goals from an assist standpoint. But if you look at how she plays on the pitch, it's clear that the partnerships that she has with her side are merely just beginning to develop. Ever since she touched foot on the pitch in that first match that she played against San Diego in their inaugural season, she has really just been continuing to grow, which has been so fun to see. Obviously, she is someone who will continue to build these bigger partnerships with her teammates and have chances to get these runs in her teammates with to be a little bit more concrete, which I think is something I'd like to see a little bit more. But at the end of the day, she is amazing in front of net. However, I would like to talk about a few players that I think deserve more minutes, and I've been a little bit skeptical of why they've not gotten them. Kezi Fair and Masiah Bright. Masiah Bright was literally bullying that Gotham defense this weekend, even though she never found the back of the net. She literally bodied a bunch of players, to the defender's credit, rather. Katie Stengel did a very good job on her in multiple situations, but Bright was causing so many problems. I was very surprised it took them until the 71st minute to really do something about it, because they obviously scored the goal, but they had a lot of momentum at the beginning of the second half, and I was like, you might want to start building on that. Obviously, I was rooting for them not to do that, being a Gotham fan, but especially after the Lavelle goal, it's like, you waited 10 minutes to sub her in. That felt quite odd due to the fact that they literally did a substitution round right after the goal scored, and they brought in a fullback and a defensive midfielder, which I think the coaching decisions were a little bit troubling, and witnessing that firsthand, that will be definitely something I will speak on more as you go into the latter stages of this segment. But yeah, I think overall it has been a rough year for Angel City. They had a season and a half, which was very rough. And then Becky Tweed came in and kind of turned the tides last season. Obviously we were all witness that, but she's really struggled this year. And I think this whole team struggled. I don't know what the problem is. There's not one problem, I think. It's more of a leadership problem. It looks like there's a lack of continuity throughout the team. And I think there's so much talent, but they haven't been able to put it together. And I'm just waiting for them to do that. I said the same thing similarly about the Reign, but I think it's different with the Reign. They're a lot younger side. Even though Angel City is a lot of young U18 players, the Thompson sisters are the only really young players that are playing in these matches. And only Giselle is a U18 player. She's not even a U18 player anymore. She's 18. So there's a lot of experience on the pitch for this team, and I'd like to see them guide that a little bit more. Clarice Levion has played in Europe in some of the best sides in the world. She's been quite impressive, getting 89% of her classes completed in the last match against Gotham, but just in general, she's been orchestrated in the midfield, and I'd like to see a little bit more of that. I'd like to see more leadership. Rocky Rodriguez, I'd like to see her get more minutes. She is a leader. She is a dominating force in the midfield, and I feel like we haven't seen that enough from her. And that was one of the big additions that Angel City made this offseason, which hasn't really capitalized so far, to be honest. But obviously, we're hoping that they can do more, because this is such a fun team to watch. I just also would like to see Masiah Bright get on the pitch, as I talked about earlier, just because of her ability in the block. She's just threatening the entire time. And some players who haven't even touched the pitch, I thought, really deserve to. Looking at Kezi Fair, for instance, who's played very good matches, in my opinion. If you look at her time when she played against the United States of America in these friendlies, she was quite good on the ball. She was a dominating factor. She was getting forward, binding with players like G. And I'd like to see a little bit more of that from Angel City, which is why I'd love to see Fair in the match. She's done so well, obviously, at such a young age, only 16 years old still, which is something hard for me to wrap around, considering that she's 2 years older than me and playing in the NWSL, but her ability is just so natural on the pitch. She glides the ball, and I don't see that from Angel City's attackers right now. I don't see LaRue getting in the action enough. She's obviously scoring in front of net, so something's going right, but at the end of the day, scoring goals is great, but if you're not winning games, then something needs to be changed. And this team has not been winning games. They've been losing a lot of games. They've won 3 matches out of 11, which is unacceptable for a brand as big as Angel City. And if you look at the, obviously, turnover in leadership with the ownership, majority owners of the group rumoring to be leaving, I wonder what effect that's having on the side, which I think is an interesting thing we've seen with the rain as well, which I wanted to get into in this segment due to a commonality which you see in these two teams. Both of them have ongoing sales currently, and I wonder if it really does affect the play. You don't know who your owner is going to be. Obviously, the owner isn't in the day-to-day life as much, but they are dictating this team, and I think that that's something that needs to be remembered when talking about this. Also, I will say, I think Didi Hirotic has done well this season in general, but 8 matches giving up 12 goals is not great. The goalkeeping situation, I think, has been troubling for the side. Angelina Anderson has been worse, giving up 6 goals in 3 matches, but at the end of the day, she still has done well in the past. Both of them have. These two keepers, and it's confusing why they're not doing good this year. Speaking from first-hand experience at the match, just focusing on that, zoning in on one game for a minute, I do think that Hirotic was quite poor. Both goals, I felt like, obviously I celebrated them, being a Gotham fan, but I felt like she could have saved both of them. The second goal, she was not covering her near post at all. She didn't really command leadership in the back line, which is hard to watch knowing that she's a leader. We've seen her be a dominating force who's good on the ball. The Dunn goal obviously was very disappointing. That was like the slowest goal I've ever seen, and I heard someone near us say the same comment, which I think was funny to hear. But I just really have not seen any control in that back line. It just looks so disjointed, and I obviously the defenders are to blame that, and you can obviously mention the fact that Sarah Gordon's not there, who's the leader of the back line. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to do well and perform without one player. Gordon is obviously bigger than one player in a lot of ways for this Angel City back line, but they still have to perform without her. There's going to be a time where Sarah Gordon's on the field. That's the reality of sports. It's the reality of soccer. And if one player is the player that's holding your back line together, there's a lot of larger questions that need to be asked from a system level on the pitch, from the tactics that the coach is implementing off the pitch. Also, the leadership, like the players that are being recruited this team, that's not them that are recruiting themselves, obviously. It's the general managers. And if they aren't able to fix this, then this is a larger problem that Angel City has had over the last few seasons, is this back line, which has been bad. I even remember in the Angel City FC documentary, former sporting director Annie Loku said that the defending was below professional standards, which I think speaks magnitudes in of itself. This back line has been very leaky to goals, and that's a big problem, and that's something that this team really needs to fix going into the latter stages of the season, considering that they have big aspirations, and to meet them, they don't just have to get the ball in the back of the net, which they also need to do more of. They have the personnel to do that. They need more leadership in the back line besides Sarah Gordon. They need better talent there. Emma Vignola is a player who I'd like to see more. There's so much talent back there in the back line, this whole roster, really. But it's about gluing this team together and bringing more cohesiveness to ultimately bring more victories back to the Los Angeles side. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Women's Soccer Podcast. As a show uploading content twice a week, we heavily appreciate if you follow us to make sure you not only support small women's soccer journalists like myself, but also to make sure you don't miss a single bit of coverage from ourselves. In addition, I would implore you to follow us on Instagram at the Women's Soccer Podcast, with underscores in between each word, as you can miss our fun game day content. We have a lot of stories, reels. It keeps you up to date on everything. If we don't record about something, we'll post about it on there. So yeah, really make sure to follow us everywhere. We are wherever you get your podcast. Tell your friends, which is going to be our little challenge of the week, I guess I say, for you all to make sure that this podcast can be the most widespread thing ever. So thank you so much for your support. And that's all for today. Peace out from your host, LDG. Bye. See you next time.